Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you this morning from our radio broadcast. First thing I would like to do, I want to welcome you to Easter Sunday morning, 2019. I love this old phrase, and it's a phrase where I say something and you respond, but let me just show you how it goes. Christ is risen. And you would respond, Christ is risen indeed. Let's try that a couple times. Christ is risen. And you respond, Christ is risen indeed. One more time. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. So happy. Our message this morning is entitled, It's Friday. We're going to start out with the death of Jesus. But Sundays are coming. And I'm so glad that Sunday morning is here. Easter Sunday morning, 2019. I want to welcome those of you that joined me by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. We are now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. I want to welcome those of you that have tuned me in by the way of Ionia through WION I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and now we've added 100.3 FM, which is Lowell and Ada area. I welcome all of you. I welcome those that's tuned me in by the way of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both Ionia and Greenville radio programs by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of the web at internetradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening to my message as by the way of my website, which is pastorkenharger.com. And then you take your mouse and scroll it over to where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. When you get your mouse on there, it'll show Current Media. Click on Current Media and it takes you right to my place where the latest messages is. There's also a thing that says Past Media, which is a place where there's about 35, 40 messages just for waiting to be heard. Whatever way you joined me this morning, I'm so glad that you're here. I am coming to you from the Lighthouse. It's a Wednesday morning that I'm putting the service together, and it's a really foggy morning, a little windy morning. I'm hoping to get the service done before they come to pour some cement. I got a neighbor that's making an addition to his home. And they may get here before I get totally done, but I hope we got it calm enough here so you won't hear much of that, okay? Well, as I share with you, I need to say thank you to those that help with the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from Belding. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from Sheridan. A thank you to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. A huge thank you also to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. I appreciate all the financial support. I appreciate the fact that K.N. Kingsinger has picked out my music for this morning, and I always love to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years, still attend there. Our Saturday evening at Shiloh begins at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9, contemporary service at 10:45, and something they've added is a Greenville campus at the old Lutheran Church on M91 up there by the new McDonald's, and that service starts at 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of all those things that I need to share with you. And we'll once in a while maybe say, Christ is risen. And you're going to respond with, Christ is risen indeed. Well, I got to tell you, we got a song I want us to listen to as we get started in our broadcast today. That Friday that the Lord Jesus went to that cross, that was a tremendous experience in his life. And you know, he was doing all that for each one of us because he loved us that much and he cared for us that much. And we need to realize that his blessing to each one of our lives is because of that tremendous love. This song is going to share with us some people that walked with Jesus during that time. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments. Thank you.
My name is Matthew. You might have seen me preaching and singing on these dusty streets. Just one of many who were following Jesus. We were all witness to miraculous feats. Maybe you just heard, last week they took him. On Friday, my Lord was hung on a cross. It's been 3 days now, and I feel so empty. It's Sunday morning, and I feel so lost.
My name is Mary, my heart is heavy. I've cried so much, I can't cry anymore. How could this happen? He was so gentle. I've never met a man like him before. How I adored him, how I believed him. Such a sweet peace when he walked in the room. I washed his feet, oh, but lately I can't sleep. It's Sunday morning, think I'll visit his tomb.
My name is Peter, maybe they told you I had denied him, I'm sorry, it's true. He knew my weakness, still he forgave me. I stood up to the soldiers, there were only a few. But I felt his hand come to rest on my shoulder. He lowered my sword, is this what I've taught? That's when they took him, later they beat him. It's Sunday morning, I wish now I'd fought.
I am a soldier, I am a Roman. I saw the wound in his side cut so deep. I have been stationed all night at his graveside, but it's Sunday morning and I fell asleep. There in the darkness, the earth shook and trembled. The tomb was found empty, the stone rolled away. Mary left weeping, on the path was a stranger. In the first light of Sunday, she asked him his name. She asked him his name.
Jesus, what a beautiful message for us to begin on this Easter Sunday morning. The people surrounding him were going through the sadness of that sad Friday, but Jesus is alive, And Christ is risen, and Christ is risen indeed. Well, let's get started with our message for this morning. Remember, I told you, we've got to start on the Good Friday, because the Friday had to come before the Sunday could come, because the death had to come before the resurrection could come. And God wants to speak to our hearts this morning in a very special way. One of the things that I like about the message about Saturday, about it being Friday, is the idea that when Jesus was much younger, when he first started his ministry, he was called the Lamb of God. I've loved this explanation. Let me get it right. I came across in my study, Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for us to break free from the bondage of sin. He did for us what he could never have done for us, what we could have never done for ourselves. He took our place. He became our substitute. He became our sacrifice. And his death satisfied the holy justice of God. For this reason, he is called the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's what happened on that Friday. The Bible verse that makes it clear is given to us in the book of Romans. I love the way this is taught, and to give us an understanding why we need to look at this morning. If because of one man's trespasses, that would be Adam, death reigned through that one man, and much more will those who received the abundance of grace and his free gift of the righteousness of Jesus reign in life through this one man, Christ Jesus. Therefore, as one trespass has led to condemnation of all men, in one righteous act leads to justification for all men. For as by the one man disobedience came into this world, and we were all made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. That's about as clear as God could give us from his word from the book of Romans as to why this one Jesus was willing to become the Lamb of God. Because sin entered into this world by our representative Adam. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden sinned, and as a result of their sin, condemnation came upon all men. So I'm a sinner because I'm born a sinner. I have a sin nature. That's why I sin. I'm not responsible so much for the sin that I've been born with because of my humanness, but I am responsible for the sins that I commit because I have a sin nature. But Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned. Not only does God say that, but people said that. The people of his day, this man has done nothing worthy of death. And that man, Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to become our sacrifice to pay the price that God demanded. God's God, and he has a right to demand. You know what he says? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the Old Testament, they said the families would bring their lamb, and they would kill that little lamb, and all the sins was transferred to that lamb. Now the Lord Jesus becomes the Lamb of God, and as a result, our sins have been transferred to him. Jesus became our lamb who was sacrificed on the cross to take away our sins, not just for a year, but forever. He gave us forgiveness. The only reason this is possible because God shares within his word what it was that he did. Listen to what it says. Christ had no sin, but God made him to become sin. God did this for us, that in Christ, when we place our faith in him and his death and his burial and his resurrection, we become right with God. That's from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God is telling us we've got something that is special that Jesus has done for us. We call it Good Friday. It was Sad Friday for Jesus. It was Sad Friday for the disciples and all those that had followed him who thought he was going to establish a kingdom on earth. But to us, because God's kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, we have the forgiveness of sin But more than that, we have this one who loves us so much. You know, when Jesus first started his ministry, he tried telling them at the beginning what he had come to do. Remember the story in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were disobedient to the Lord and God sent snakes all through the land? And then God told Moses, lift up on a high pole a serpent, a brass pole they put up and a serpent on that. And anyone who gets bit, when they look to that serpent on that high pole, they won't die. They'll be healed. And that's the way it worked. Only sadness, all of a sudden the nation of Israel got started worshiping the pole rather than worshiping the God that had them put the pole there and did the healing. You know what Jesus said? As a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, one of these days the Son of God will be lifted up. And Jesus was lifted up on a cross. And Jesus said this, folks, and we need to hang on to this for ourselves this morning. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what he did. And that's what he did about for each one of us. You know, when Jesus died on that cross, on that Good Friday that we call it, he became our sacrificial lamb. I want us to think of some of the words that Jesus said for just a few moments. The words that Jesus spoke from the cross. I came across this statement, and it says, the word Jesus spoke as he absorbed our sin upon the cross. I got to have you remember, he absorbed our sin. All of my sin that I would ever commit, past, present, or future, Jesus absorbed that. But not only my sins, he absorbed the sins of the entire human race. As best I can for these next few minutes, I'm going to give you some of the words that Jesus said in the order that most Bible scholars think that it was said. He spoke seven times from the cross. And you know, the words that Jesus said are words of any dying person. Those words are valuable. It's the last things they will say. And the first thing that Jesus said, the first time he spoke, he's been hanging on the cross, I don't know how long, but all of a sudden, these words come out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And meanwhile, the soldiers divided his clothes amongst themselves by throwing dice. They gambled for his clothing. The people stood there watching. But the rulers who were making all kinds of sarcastic remarks, they said, he saved others. If he's the Messiah God has chosen him, let him save himself. The soldiers also made fun of him. They would go up to him and offer him vinegar and say, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And amongst all that pain, amongst all of that agony, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I love that. I love that for many reasons. Jesus speaks to his Father first, and he's asking his Father to forgive the ones that are bringing all this pain into his lives. Forgive those that spit upon him. Forgive those who beat upon him. Forgive those who drove the spikes into his hands and into his feet. Even as they're gambling for his clothes, even as they're saying all kinds of nasty things about him, forgive those religious leaders, Father. The heart of Jesus was focused on others rather than himself as he asked his Father to forgive them even as they continued to hurt him. That's grace, folks. That's God's grace. I believe as Jesus forgives those who were hurting him, I believe as Jesus did that on that cross, I believe he's teaching us a good lesson for our lives. Because you know what, folks? In your life, as in my life, others will hurt you. You need to learn how to forgive. You need to learn how to ask for forgiveness. You won't live on planet Earth very long until you're hurt by somebody else. And you need to forgive them. You won't live on planet Earth very long until you hurt somebody else. and you need to ask their forgiveness. I believe Jesus forgave them. That was in order to set him free from all the hurt and the anxiety that they had brought upon his life. This allowed him to do the work that the Father had given him to do, to be the sacrificial lamb and pay not for his sins, but to pay for our sins. And this payment was made for all of mankind if they would place their faith in this one Jesus and the finished work that he did for them upon the cross. You know why I like that? God used that early in my life. I was raised by a stepdad, and I didn't know he was my stepdad. And he had been mean to me, and I couldn't figure out why he treated me the way he treated me. And it wasn't until 18 that I realized he left my family. He left our family when he was 15, when I was 15. That meant I had to quit school and go to work. And that made me, I liked school. That made me kind of angry to have to quit school. But you know something? When I became a Christian at 18, when I asked Jesus into my life, one of the first things that the Heavenly Father started teaching me through what Jesus said on the cross was the idea, I want you to be a man for me. I want you to be a pastor for me someday. But in order for me to do that, you need to forgive your stepdad. You can't go through life and you can't go through pastoral work with anger and bitterness in your heart towards your stepdad. You need to forgive him like Jesus, my son, did. Father, I want to forgive my stepdad for all the hurts that he brought into my life. And I got to tell you, folks, when I prayed that prayer, God gave me victory over all of that pain that I experienced. And through my life, because I've forgiven my stepdad, he's been able to use that in my life to help many other people. You know what I've come to say? Forgiveness is the best gift you give yourself. It gives you freedom from the one that has wounded you, and it gives you freedom from the wounds you have received. And God is able to turn it into something that is going to be good and a blessing not only to you, but to others. So we need to know that. A sad Friday, we hear Jesus speak the words from the cross. He's absorbing my sin. He's absorbing my stepdad's sin. He's absorbing all of our sins. Jesus speaks to the criminal as the second time that he spoke on the cross. That doesn't surprise me. One of the criminals were hanging the rail at him. One of them was on one side of him. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying that was feet that was killed on the other side of Jesus. You've always seen it. There's three crosses, Jesus in the middle, and two thieves, one on each side. This other thief talks to the man on the other side. He says, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, you're under the sentence of death. And we indeed justly, for we receive due rewards for the way we did with our deeds of our life. But listen to what he says next. He knows it from his heart. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he turns to Jesus, the center person on the crosses. Jesus, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what that thief is saying when he said that? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I love it. He's saying, I believe you who you said you were. I believe you are established in the kingdom. And I love it. Jesus is so kind to this man. He doesn't shoot out any accusations against the other one, because that wasn't the way Jesus was. But he turns to this man and he says, truly, surely, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus to that thief on the cross. You know, sometimes we need to realize that even in the fact of death, there seems to be a division. In people's lives, there seems to be a division. Here's just two men, one on each side of Jesus. The one is criminal driving next to Jesus. He's saying all kinds of blasphemous things, saying to him, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the criminal on the other side, experiencing the same experience that the other criminal experienced, and Jesus in between him, in between them, he says, this man's done nothing wrong. And he responds to Jesus. It seems like some people don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, even as they come close to death. And others seem to want to open their heart to him and receive him and all that he has to offer. You know, I think we need to realize that Jesus has said something very special to that thief that I want us to just spend a moment or two on, and then we'll get into some of the other few words of Jesus, and we'll listen to a song, and we'll go to the resurrection. I'm excited about the resurrection. What a promise he gave to this criminal when he says, today you will be with me in paradise. So many people get so wrapped up in the word paradise and the word heaven. They want to know what it's all about. They want to know where it is. They want to know all kinds of things about it. But folks, you know what? If you focus your attention upon that, you'll miss what Jesus is saying. You know what he's saying? Today, you will be with me. Whatever paradise is, the only reason it's going to be paradise is because we are with Jesus. Whatever heaven is, and people want to talk about the streets of pure gold and all those other things, whatever makes heaven heaven is that we will be with Jesus. You know, Jesus even taught that himself prior to his death. One day he said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, he says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now listen, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, what makes the mansion special isn't the mansions, but where Jesus is, we will be with him. We need to know that's the beautiful part of the message that God is sharing with us about this fact of eternal life, is that we'll be with Jesus. Well, we're going to listen to a song now, because we're going to turn the page. This song's going to help us turn the page. It's Friday, folks. But Sundays are coming. It's Friday. I haven't talked about all the things that Jesus did. I love the way that he told John to take care of his mother and all the other things. The last thing he said upon that cross was, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died. This song is telling us that we're going to listen to now. It's telling us that Jesus is gone. That's the pain of death. Jesus is gone. And we need to know that he wants to reach out to each one of our lives. Let's listen in. I'll be back in just a few moments.
Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. The stone was moved. He had gone away. The angel said, fear not, I know you seek ye. For he has risen. This she heard him say.
Gone, the stone is rolled. Father's side, gone over death.
turn the dark of death to day. He can calm the storms of doubt and part the ocean, and he can still roll your heavy stones away.
Come, the stone is rolled back, gone, the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at the Father's side. Gone, over death, triumphant, gone.
Lives forevermore. He's gone, but now he's here within us. And you know that song was only playing for some reason on one of the lines instead of the two lines that it normally plays on. But my voice is back with you on two lines. You know, I want to turn this page into the Sunday is coming, the Sunday being here, in the words of the Lord Jesus, which is my favorite red letter words of Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatness of love. Sometimes when I share that, I like to ask the question, who are you willing to die for? You know what? Jesus was willing to die for us. I love the way Jesus said it before the crucifixion took place. He says, my Father does love me because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Listen to what he says. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Jesus had the power to lay his life down, to become that sacrifice for us. But it's so good to know that the Father gave him the ability to take his life up again. Now, after the Sabbath, at the first day of the week, began to draw near, Mary Magdalene and other Mary came to see to his tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and it came and it rolled back the stone from the door, and the angel sat upon the stone. The angel's countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards were shocked for fear of him, because they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said unto the women, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he's going to go before them in Galilee. Therefore you see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples' word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. And he said, rejoice, or peace be unto you. So they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus is alive from the dead. And those women who had been standing at the cross, they watched him die, so they knew he was dead. They watched him die. Jesus spoke to Mary and the other Marys that were with her when he said to John, this is your mother. He said to Mary, "This is your son. John's going to take care of you." They knew that Jesus had died, and they come to make his body ready for the burial. They thought he was gone and gone forever. And when our loved ones die, they are gone from us. And that's one of the pains that we experience, is they've disappeared from us. But Jesus wasn't gone in that kind of a thing, that he was going to be laying there in the tomb. He was gone because he was risen. He was alive. And I love it what he says to those women. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, I believe that's what God's trying to teach all of us about Resurrection Sunday morning, is we don't have to have fear about death. Oh, I'm going to have fear about the dying process, what I'm going to go through to get there. But Jesus is saying, you know what? I've tasted death for you. Now you don't need to be afraid. We got to pass this news on. This is news that's going to make a difference in your life, to these ladies, he's saying. But it's going to make a difference in the lives of the disciples. He's going to make a difference in the lives of those that the disciples tell about. It's always going to make a difference in the lives of people when they come to that understanding that Jesus paid that price upon the cross. But then he arose. He had power to take his life up again. And the same Jesus that died on the cross is the same Jesus that gives us hope for our resurrection. He told them, "I'm going to appear to the disciples." That's what he told the ladies. Then Jesus appears to the disciples. Let me just read about that. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, the disciples were fearful. Those Jewish people had killed Jesus. They thought they might come kill them too. Jesus came and he stood in the midst of them and he said, "Peace be unto you." Boy, I got to tell you, that was powerful for those disciples. Their world had been turned upside down. They didn't understand all of this. And now all of a sudden, here is Jesus. And by the way, when Jesus was with them and he was walking with them those 3 years of ministry, when they came to the door, they had to open the door for Jesus to go in. But all of a sudden, there Jesus is standing in the midst of them. The doors were all locked. And there's Jesus. And he's saying, "Peace be unto you." I think those disciples were trembling. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord Jesus and said to him, and Jesus said to them again, and I love it that he did it twice, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm going to be sending you. I've done the work that the Father sent me to do. And I did that work, and you've believed in me, and now," he's saying, "I've got some work I want you to do." And you know, he reminds them of what all is going to take place in the future. I want to read this for you, understanding that. That's why I can say to you this morning, this message is for you. Christ was risen for you. Christ died on that cross on Friday for your sins and my sins. He absorbed all the sins that you've ever committed, past, present, or future. He paid that price for that. Then he rose from the grave. And that resurrection is what gives proof that you can believe in him, and not only the idea. You know my second set of red letters that I love of Jesus? Jesus said, "If I die, I will rise again." And 3 days later, he came out of that tomb to tell us, last chapter is not going to be your cemetery spot. The last chapter is not going to be a funeral service or a memorial service or whatever type of celebration you do. That's not going to be what it's about. It's going to be about resurrection. Because Jesus said, "I'm alive. And you disciples can see me. And I say to you, peace be unto you." But I want you to know, this is something that is going to mushroom out bigger than you have realization, he's saying to the disciples. And when he had said this, he said, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now, Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples told Thomas that Jesus was there. Thomas, for some reason, he missed that meeting. And the disciples told him, and they told him about the message. He's saying that we're going to pass on the message of forgiveness. We're going to pass on the message of resurrection. And we're supposed to do that. They tried telling Thomas, and you know, sometimes when you get it secondhand, Thomas's response was, listen to Thomas's response. It's a response like you might hear today. They said, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas said, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. That's where a lot of the world is today, folks. We're living in unbelief. We want to see. The evidence is that God tells us in his word that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Thomas was one of the disciples. He had watched Jesus do all the wonderful things that he did. It was Thomas who said to the Lord when Jesus said, you're going to be with me in my Father's house. It was Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how we're going to get there. It was to Thomas that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas is absent, but he does not believe the disciples, the rest of his buddies that he'd been with for these 3 years. I will never believe. I hope that's not your heart this morning. Because you know why? 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and this time Thomas was with them. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them, and guess what he said? Peace be unto you. I think about that time Thomas's heart is just about racing as fast as it possibly can race. It is Jesus. You know what? I love the way Jesus did this. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Thomas, put your hand and place it here into my side. And do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas, it's true. Believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? You don't have to see Jesus to make it happen. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they believe. Thomas, you believe me because you've seen. But there's people that you're going to be ministering to. There's people that are going to be thousands of years later that they will believe not because they seen the nail prints. They will believe not because they put their hand into my side and felt the wound. They will believe without seeing. That should be me. That should be you. I'm sharing with you the Easter Sunday message. And that is saying what God wants us to say, what God wants us to do, is to believe the message. That this one Jesus one day died and paid the price for your sins and my sins. And it was an awful price he paid. One time as he was on that cross, he cried out these words, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when Jesus became sin for you and I. That's when sin, and when Jesus had on his body the sins of the entire universe of people. past, present, future. And God the Father had to turn his back upon him because God the Father couldn't look upon sin. And Jesus died alone on that cross and paid that price for me. Why can't you believe that? Why can't you believe that? And you know, something inside of our hearts and lives says, that can't be all there is to it, to be born, live, and die. There has to be something more to it than that. Something that is more valuable for us to get a hold of than can bring about some good results out of our life than that. Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But I want you to know that this one Jesus is here for people not to see and believe, but just to believe. I'll wrap it up with this little story that I like that happens sometime later in the life of the Lord Jesus. There was a couple of the disciples of Jesus that were walking on the road to Emmaus. I got a picture like that hangs in our living room. I really like that picture. These men are walking along the road to Emmaus, and they have a heavy heart and a sad heart. And in the sadness of their heart, I think they're walking kind of with their heads hanging down. And all of a sudden, Jesus joins them. I don't believe they passed Jesus. I believe just like it was in the rooms when the disciples were, all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And he's walking with them. And he says to those two men, why are you walking in? You seem to be sad to me. Why are you so sad? You know, it's Sunday, but they don't know that. The sadness was for Friday. That sadness of Friday is still carrying over in these men's lives. They haven't been brought up to speed yet. It's Sunday, and they're walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're as sad can be. And Jesus, when he joins them, and said, why are you walking around so sad today? They said, are you a stranger here? Haven't you heard what has happened? The Messiah came, and we figured he was going to set up his kingdom on earth. And they crucified him, and he died. And some say he's alive. And you know, Jesus walked with them a little further. Then he started talking to you. Did you ever hear about Moses being lifted up in the wilderness? Did you ever hear that one Jesus say, as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up? And he went on to begin to tell them of the stories of the Old Testament and the blessings of the stories of the Old Testament. And then they were going to stop and stay, and Jesus made it as though he was going to go on, that he was going to go on. And he invited him to stay, but Jesus said no. And you know, they went into the room, and he stayed there for a little while, and they went into the room, and they were going to have some lunch, and Jesus broke some bread like they'd seen him do before. And all of a sudden, these two men say in their hearts, didn't the word of God burn within us as he talked to us? He is alive. That is Jesus. And they turned around and they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of them, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. This one Jesus. God's reminding us, dear people, we don't need to walk in the sadness of the Friday. The Friday paid the price. We need to rejoice. We need the peace that comes from its Sunday. I hope you're not still walking around in sadness of heart 2,000 years later because you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die. I trust you have the peace of Jesus in your life. The peace of Jesus that says, God's grace has reached out to me in a wonderful way, And God's grace has done some beautiful things for me. And I need to know that God's grace has provided what I needed. It's marvelous grace that He gives to us, that we can have the forgiveness of sin and have the hope of eternal life. Jesus Christ, my dear friends, is alive. Christ is alive indeed. Let's listen to this song that shares with us this truth about the Lord Jesus, that He's come to give us grace, and it's marvelous grace that He brings to us in order that our lives might be brought forward. God bless you.
Marvelous grace, God's saving grace, unmerited favor. Jesus, God's only Son, at Calvary won and offered us grace.
Separated from God, I was.